I'm joined on Radio Jackie today by the Liberal Democrat MP for Epsom and Yul Helen Maguire. The Prime Minister's announcement at Epsom Hospital regarding the NHS recovery plan happened a couple of days ago. Just wanted to know, what did you think of that announcement?
Well, we welcome many aspects of this announcement, and we think that the direct access to checks will cut unnecessary waiting times, and so it's great to hear that. But there's also got to be a priority on improving emergency care. If we just ring fence elective beds whilst people wait for emergency care, you know, that's not going to solve the problem. And currently we have lots of people waiting in emergency care, and many who are being left without being checked. And it's also really important that the Epsom St Helier Hospital continue to be at the front of the queue for necessary repairs, and that the new specialist emergency care hospital is in Sutton is on the top of the priority list for the new hospital programme.
Yeah, do you think Epsom was a good place for the announcement, even though its future is kind of up in the air?
Oh, yes, absolutely, because they have the South West London Elective Orthopaedic Centre there, which is doing absolutely fantastic work. So that's a shining example of how elective care can work really well. So the team there, they won an award recently, and I was at their award ceremony, so they're doing an absolutely fantastic job. I think it's great because it also enabled me to obviously continue to highlight the need for the new specialist emergency care hospital.
Now, you have strongly condemned the government's decision to abandon its pledge to see, admit and discharge 95% of A&E patients within 4 hours by the end of this parliament. What are you doing to get the government to fix long A&E wait times at Epsom Hospital?
Well, what we've been calling for a long time is, you know, we need to increase the number of staffed hospital beds, and that will help to end the degrading corridor care. But the other thing that's a real challenge at the moment is that whilst people are waiting for many hours in A&E, there isn't anyone that's checking on them. So we've been calling for a qualified clinician in every waiting room to ensure that if there are patients there, then their conditions don't deteriorate. So we've had in Epsom and Yule 14,000 patients waiting longer than 12 hours in A&E. And just over Christmas, I heard from a mum and her child. She was waiting for 7 hours for a broken wrist. And when she was there, she met a mum who had a baby with a bump on their head. And after 6 hours, they left as they just simply couldn't wait any longer. You know, and unfortunately, these stories are just common in waiting rooms across the country. So we need to resolve that. And having a qualified clinician in every waiting room is at least going to help at least minimise the deterioration of any condition that any patient has.
And how can we help hospital staff handle the winter pressures better?
That's a very good question. So obviously, you know, the better support we can provide, I mean, what's really interesting that I've heard from, you know, some doctors and nurses is, you know, they work very long hours and unfortunately not always the sort of the food and the ability, you know, in the hospitals is great, particularly when you're working sort of the night shift. So if we can at least perhaps, you know, get some better food in the hospitals so they can, you know, maintain their energy, stay healthy so that they don't end up off sick as well, then we can better protect them.
And what about parking? How can we reduce parking fees for families already struggling with long hospital waits?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, in Epsom in particular, they've been looking at planning for a new car park because it's not just in Epsom Hospital, it's not just the car parking fees, but it's also the it's also the lack of parking. And at the moment, you have awful traffic jams coming into Epsom Hospital. So it's certainly an area that needs to be reviewed. I mean, it's not really acceptable. You know, you're waiting there for 12 hours and then you come away with a, you know, a £20 bill. So I think there just needs to be a review about how that's done. But I think what's even more challenging at the moment is that, you know, the staff, our brilliant staff that work in these hospitals, doctors and nurses, they've also been charged. They've been charged when they work. And I don't think that's right. So we've got to make sure that they get the concessions, they can go to work and do the job without having to pay parking charges as well.
And overall, what changes do you think are needed to make the NHS ready for future challenges?
Yeah, so obviously what I've mentioned already is that we need more staffed hospital beds. Obviously, we need the new emergency care hospital, and particularly in A&E, we need to have a qualified clinician in every waiting room, and that will help. But also, we've got to fix the social healthcare crisis. And it was really disappointing to hear from this government that once again, they've kicked it into the long grass. They're going to have another review that's going to take years. That's just not acceptable. At the moment, people are blocked in hospitals. hospitals because they can't get out the other end, and we need to resolve that quickly.
Moving on to the failed attempt by Lib Dems to pass an amendment which would have exempted GPs, dentists, hospices and social care providers from the national insurance rise. What can be done now to help local pharmacies and care homes facing higher costs after the amendment failed?
Well, we have to do what we can. We'll continue to put pressure on the government as best we can. I mean, it's really disappointing that our amendment failed. We will continue to support them as best we can. But really, this government's got to, you know, go back to the drawing board and, you know, to figure out what else they can do to support them. Because at the moment, what we're seeing is, I mean, the other day we just heard in Parliament of a pharmacist who's dipping into his life savings just to make sure that his business continue. And, you know, the pharmacists are for many people the first point of call. And if we have effective pharmacists, then effectively, you know, we prevent some people going to hospitals or going to their GP because they can actually get some initial treatment at the pharmacist. So we need to have a, you know, a complete, you know, relook at how the system works, and we recognise the value of pharmacists, get the social care sorted and look at it with a more of a holistic view.
Yeah, how can the concerns of local businesses and care providers like Horton Pharmacy and Nelsar make a bigger impact in Parliament, do you think?
Well, I've been raising their issues. I mean, I've mentioned the Horton Pharmacy in my speech recently, and we will continue to do what we can to put pressure on this government.
What other ideas do you have to support healthcare and social care providers struggling with these tax hikes?
Well, as I said, we're continuing to put pressure on this government to reverse the national insurance hikes, and we'll continue to do that and see what we can do to continue to support them.
Epsom and Yule Borough Council is working with three local charities, I believe, to distribute up to £44,000 from the Household Support Fund to people experiencing financial hardship across the borough. How will the council's work with local charities make sure residents get the support they need?
Yeah, so I welcome that the Household Support Fund is now available until the 31st of March. This is really good news, and it will help support people who are really struggling with essential goods, so food and utilities, as well as crisis support, so to help prevent further financial hardship. You know, for many people, this fund is an absolute lifeline. So as you mentioned, Citizens Advice for Epsom and Yule is distributing the Household Support Fund on behalf of Epsom and Yule Borough Council, and anyone who feels they need it, they can apply online via the phone or in person. So please do get in touch with them if you need support. So as you're probably aware, the cost of living crisis is one of my main priorities, and I've urged this government to provide more support for those who are on the brink of homelessness. And Epsom and Yule has proportionately one of the highest numbers of homeless households living in temporary accommodation in England, and this is something that we need to resolve.
And after this fund ends, what's the plan to help people with the cost of living?
Well, there isn't any at the moment, and so that's why we will continue to push the government to continue to provide support for those households that need it. So we look forward to a further announcement, but at the moment we don't know.
Moving on to devolution, Surrey County Council leader Tim Oliver has asked for local elections to be delayed so Surrey's 11 district councils can have more time to concentrate on devolution plans. I believe there was a meeting yesterday. Are you in support of devolution?
Yes, absolutely. We recognise that the white paper's got clear intention and direction, and we acknowledge the challenges with the local government, both locally and nationally. We understand the need for urgent and meaningful change. But unfortunately, this push to cancel elections and not permitting local residents to have their say, we think is undemocratic. We think that Surrey County Council needs more time to consider the best option, and trying to push it through in this first wave, we don't think is good for residents at all. There's so many things to consider in Surrey, and significantly the funding and the debt matters. You know, Surrey is a massive county. You know, you've got urban, you've got rural areas, you've got the west of the county that has some more economic activity than the east, and all of this it's going to take a lot of time to think and consider and to get it right. And I think what's interesting is that all of the district and boroughs disagree with trying to put it in the first wave, and we as Liberal Democrat MPs also disagree, and that's why we're writing to the Deputy Prime Minister, who's also the Minister for Housing, Communities and Local Government, to explain our views.
Yeah. Do you think creating a single council and a mayor for Surrey fits with the Liberal Democrats' ideas for local government?
So I think at the moment there are a number of different options. It's not necessarily one mega unitary authority. It could be two or it could be three. And I think the point is that we need time to actually consider what the best option for Surrey is and what the best best option for the residences. So, you know, it's we've always said that, you know, perhaps turning it into two or three would be the best option. A one megawatt unitary authority is probably not right. I think that it would just be too large. But, you know, quite frankly, we just need the time to actually look into this and really understand what the best thing is for residents.
But you just mentioned residents there. How will you make sure Surrey residents have a say in these big changes?
Well, this is why we need the elections to continue in May. You know, if we don't have the elections, then quite frankly, they can't have a say. And it's and what the outcome will be completely undemocratic. And I particularly think that with so much that's going wrong with Surrey County Council at the moment, from whether it's the terrible failings in safeguarding or special educational needs or the perennial kind of pothole issues, you know, the elections need to happen in May. Democratically, so the people of Surrey can decide what the best way forward is.
And the final thing I want to touch on is housing. Epsom and Yule Borough Council has submitted its new local plan after being told it had to press ahead with a plan up to 2040. Are you worried these plans are being rushed?
I guess in an ideal world, it'd be nice if they had more time. But of course, you know, they've got to do what the government's asking them to do. We recognise there's a serious housing crisis. I think our frustration is that we think that Labour's proposal, they're trying to impose top-down targets and force councils to review greenbelt land, you know, when that might not necessarily be the best option. You know, I've been calling for a brownfield first approach to housing, which prioritises available land in towns and cities and supports sustainable development. So in an ideal world, it'd be great if there was more time. I appreciate that the local council is under pressure. And unfortunately, I think that means that, you know, we haven't got the best outcome for residents.
Will there be enough time for consultation and for people to comment on these new plans?
Well, it's now at consultation Reg 19. So there will be some time. Whether that's sufficient or not, I don't know. I mean, I think it will ultimately probably just get pushed forward. And it's really disappointing because at the moment they're using centralised formulas for housing need. And I don't think that's appropriate in Epsom and Yule. But whatever happens, what we have to make sure is that the developers are held accountable to their commitments on affordable housing and social housing. And we can't let them get away with not building what they need to, and we need to make sure that the housing that's built is sustainable, and particularly all of the local services that new housing developments need, like GPs and public transport and schools, are included, and that councils hold developers to account to that as well.